animals anxiously anticipating android anecdotes and antics. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 92. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your loopy coop of snoops.
Oh. I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Those were good.
Oh, I like your... Let's take a slow. Chris.
After dark.
And it's episode 92. We're slowly inching on the road to episode 100. And this is just a reminder for all you listeners. We still don't really know what we're going to do for our big 100th episode / 2-year anniversary. But we thought it'd be fun if we had the audience participate. So we want audio clips from you. Record your lovely voice using your computer or your smartphone or your voice recorder. And tell us a little bit about why you like Good Job Brain or who you are and interesting anecdotes, stuff that happens during pub trivia, whatever it is. Or your dog's barking or purring. I don't know. Oh, I guess cats purr. Sorry.
And if your dog is purring, let us know.
Send it in.
We want to know.
Send in the whole dog.
And you can just email us the audio files, state your name and what city you're in, and we might put it in the show for episode 100.
What do you get for your second year anniversary? Do you know?
I think it's wood.
Toilet paper?
First year is, I know, is paper anniversary.
Okay.
I think second year is wood.
That sounds plausible.
These are good to know for pub quiz.
Yeah. These are good to know if you're married.
Yeah. I was wrong.
What is
second
it?
Year is cotton.
Cotton.
Okay. So
the fabric
nice,
of our lives.
Nice fresh underpants.
So for anniversary lists, there's a traditional and there's a modern.
Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It seems like all the traditional stuff is kind of.
Traditional stuff is a little weird, right?
It's like more natural,
yeah,
I would say.
The modern stuff is you can spend more money on it.
So for first year, it's paper, traditional. Modern is clocks. Mm. I don't know why.
Second counting time already.
So you can know. So you can go out and blow like $500 on a piece of jewelry.
Yeah. Second year is traditional cotton, and then modern is China. Oh. Not the country. Plates.
Okay. Some plates. All right. Just lowercase.
Just to clarify.
All right.
Yeah. This is transition from like simpler times to consumerism. Mm-hmm. Because you're not supposed to have any money when you first get married. You're supposed to have like nothing. You're supposed to be dirt.
Hence paper.
Poor. Right, yeah. Paper. Cotton. Boogers is
that's number three is boogers.
Yeah, right. Going way back for that one.
It's like really where you reaffirm how close you are with
each other. Right, right, right. Yeah, by year three.
Like, I made a ring out of boogers.
Yeah. Yep.
Happy anniversary,
and you
honey.
Wear it with pride.
There are no my boogers and your boogers
in there. Our
boogers.
Oh my gosh. Sweet.
Sticks. Yeah. All right.
I love this sticks. Boogers, the gift that sticks around.
The love you can't flick away.
Off to a good start, everybody. All right, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. Everybody has their barnyard buzzer. I have a random trivia pursuit card from the box. Here we go. Blue wedge for geography. What state contains the helium capital of the world, Space City, and the live music capital of the world? Oh. Colin.
What state? Tennessee?
Incorrect.
Is it Texas?
Yes!
Because Austin is the live music capital of the world, right?
Oh, okay. Okay, I was thinking.
Yeah, Amarillo is the helium capital of the world. Houston is Space City.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
And live music capital of the world is Austin.
Cool.
All right. Pink wedge for pop culture. Oh, what brand of automobile did Oprah Winfrey give to 276 audience members to celebrate her 19th season on TV?
Was it a
Dana.
Volkswagen?
Incorrect.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
You get
a car.
Right,
you get a car.
And so what was it?
Pontiac.
Oh.
Pontiac, the G6 specifically. All right, yellow wedge. What president was the first to welcome a pope to the White House? Ooh. Colin.
This was pretty late. Was it Ronald Reagan?
Incorrect.
Mm.
But on the...
Around there?
In the
around
same
there.
General area.
Dana.
Is it Carter?
Yes, Jimmy Carter. Mm. He welcomed Pope John Paul II visit in 1979.
Okay.
All right, purple wedge. What are the million little pieces pictured on the cover of James Frey's bestseller of the same name? Colin.
I think they're pills, right? Like pharmaceutical pills?
Incorrect.
Hmm.
They're tears.
They are, sure. I remember this because it's very colorful, candy sprinkles, million little pieces. And James Frey, I think we maybe mentioned a little bit about him before. He's a fabulous, right? Turns out this memoir, this book.
Oh, that's right.
Million little pieces.
Yeah. And Oprah got so mad
Oprah
at him.
Oprah got really mad.
You don't want Oprah mad at you.
Is this the Oprah card?
It is the Oprah card. Because Oprah picked it for one of her book club picks.
That's right.
And really it skyrocketed the author's career. And turns out it was all fake. And she made him go on the show.
Yeah, it was like he got called to the principal's office.
Yeah, she made him go on the show and was really angry and was like, why did you know, make all this stuff up?
No one's seen him since then.
Green Wedge for Science. Ooh, it was a good one. What kind of product was advertised in the first ever spam message? It's a multiple choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
A dating service?
Yeah.
Diet pill or computer? Colin.
I'm going to guess diet pill.
Incorrect.
Mm. Really? All right. Computer.
It is computer.
Mm. Right. Targeted. Those were, it's pretty targeted. Yeah.
All right. Last question. Orange Wedge. I guess technically it's kind of sporty.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
What movie starred Denzel Washington and basketball's Ray Allen?
Oh, that is he Got Game.
Yes, He Got Game, directed by Spike Lee.
Yes.
Oh, good job. Yes. See, it was kind of sporty.
I was not allowed to watch that movie.
Is this the one where he gets courted by schools for a basketball scholarship?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a little
racy.
Scandalous.
Also, bad grammar.
He Got Game.
Yeah.
He Got Game.
He has game.
He's Got Game.
He's Got Game, or he has game, but not he.
Game was given to him.
right. Yeah.
That's a passive tone. Right. All right. Good job, brains. How am I supposed to introduce this week's topic? Well, it's kind of a free-for-all. We picked a theme, and I'm excited to see what everybody did for this theme and kind of what their, I guess, mental direction went. So this week, we're talking about things on the side. Things that may not be, you know, the star of the show, but definitely vital to, you know, a companion to the star. Here we go. Pick a side.
When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Well, this was going to happen. I have a quiz about famous side kicks.
Yay!
All right.
I also found out the etymology of sidekick is like unknown. They're not really sure where it came from.
It is unknown.
They used to say like side partner and stuff like that, but like at some point it became side kicker.
Huh.
And then it became side kick, but like nobody knows why it became side kicker in the first place.
Kickerbocker.
Or it could be sports related. I don't know.
But the idea of the side kick, like Karen has us, we're her three sidekicks. But it also permeates. I figure you're the main superhero.
Yeah, I'm the host.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're the main motorcycle. We're the sidecars.
We're the sidecars around your motorcycle.
Yeah, three sidecars.
That's called a car.
That's a sedan. So I just have a quiz about sidekicks in literature and comics and movies and all kinds of stuff.
Love
so
it.
Let's see
Bring
if we can
it.
Figure this out. Now, this is Colin and I had this question at Trivia. We got it right. So Colin is disqualified, and I'm disqualified because I'm doing the quiz.
All right.
Have the answer in front of me. So this is Karen versus Dana.
What?
Who is the sidekick of Don Quixote? Dana buzzed in first.
Don Quixote. Oh, it's Pancho somebody. Pancho
Sanz. Oh, no,
you spoonerized it.
Yeah.
You spoonerized
Sancho Panza.
Yes. Sancho Panza.
Oh,
yeah.
I was going to say his horse.
No,
he has
a guy. I would say the guy comes above the horse.
Yeah, in the hierarchy.
You know, would you say Tonto or Silver is
Tonto the Lone is Lone Ranger's sidekick. Silver is the Lone Ranger's mount.
His trusty steed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, okay. Right, yes. What is the full first and last name of the sidekick of Frodo Baggins? The full first and last name. I think it's Dana again.
It's Samwise Gamgee, isn't it?
Spell that last name for me.
Oh,
I watched the movie. I didn't read the book. Samwise Gamgee.
Gamgee.
Yes. Samwise Gamgee. Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed. She was Lucy's sidekick on I Love Lucy. Uh-oh. Colin.
Ethel Mertz.
Yes. Ethel Mertz. Yes. After he ditched his sidekick role, he became the superhero Nightwing. Karen.
Robin.
Well, yeah, technically, I guess I would give that to you. Which Robin? What's his actual name?
Hold on. Dick Grayson.
Yes, Dick Grayson. All right, there we go. Right. Now, besides Dick Grayson, there have actually been many other Robins that have served canonically with Batman. What would you say is the biggest difference between Dick Grayson and the Robin who appears in Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns? Karen!
The Frank Miller, quote, Robin is actually a girl.
It is actually a girl, yes.
Not a spoiler. Yeah.
Genitalia
a
spoiler. Is the biggest
difference. Yes, that is the big difference.
To get very specific.
Chromosomes.
Yes.
Different chromosomes, yep. This famous sidekick was played at one time by an actor whose initials are the two highest value Scrabble letters.
Sidekicks.
Wait, say it. Okay. Can you say it one more time?
This famous sidekick, we're naming the sidekick, was played by an actor whose initials are the two highest value letters in Scrabble. Okay,
so Z and Q.
Oh, Karen.
Yeah. Spock.
Yes, Spock.
Zachary Quinto.
Yes.
Wow. As soon as you said it, that was great.
There's a little, you had to make a couple little leaps there, but yes, Spock, played by Zachary Quinto. All right. This
AKA my boyfriend.
Oh yeah. AKA your former secret boyfriend and now your public boyfriend. This animated sidekick has a Swahili name that means to be foolish, silly, weak-minded, careless, or negligent.
Whoa.
That is the word for foolish or silly in Swahili is this sidekick's name.
Which one's this? Is it's either Timon or Pumbaa?
Which one do you think it is?
Got it. Timon.
No.
Wrong.
No.
It's Pumbaa. It's Pumbaa.
That sounds more frivolous, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Timon is one of the only characters in Lion King who does not have a name that is taken from the Swahili language.
Hmm. Is it just a random name?
It's Greek, apparently.
So I couldn't have been more wrong.
No. You had the right movie. This sidekick's most famous line is probably, "Cover your heart."
Colin. That's Short Round.
It is Short Round,
from Indiana Jones?
Yeah, and the Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Had a lot of memorable lines. It's probably the most quoted.
I said No Time for Love, Dr. Jones.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yep,
he did say most famous.
Right, yeah. Probably his most famous. This sidekick was a really good listener, but did little else as Tom Hanks' buddy in Castaway. Colin again?
Wilson. Yeah. The volleyball.
Wilson the volleyball. Harry Potter's sidekicks, Ron and Hermione, get married and cranked out little ginger babies.
Oh, right.
Name one of them. Karen.
Rose.
Rose, yes. Yeah. You know the other one for a bonus point?
Mungo.
What? Mungo Weasley. You're close. It was actually...
Oh, hold on. One of the twins' names.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. What is it? It was Rose and Hugo. That's Rose and Hugo.
Mungo.
It's just one letter up.
It's so close. This sidekick's name is derived from the Russian word for dog, sobaka. Colin.
Chewbacca?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did not know that.
So George Lucas was inspired to create Chewbacca after watching his dog riding in the passenger seat of his car.
That's awesome.
Yep, inspired by a dog sitting in car seat. Finally, John H. Watson is the sidekick of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Whose sidekick is Dr. David Q. Dawson?
Is it...
There's a reason the names are so similar. Dawson versus Watson.
Is it Professor Moriarty?
It's not Professor Moriarty, no. Although that would make some sense.
I don't know.
There's a little bit of alternate universe stuff going on in here. He lives at 221B and a half Baker Street.
Oh!
Karen.
Is it House?
No. It's Dana. Is it the Great Mouse Detective?
It's the Great Mouse Detective.
Okay.
Basil of Baker Street, the Great Mouse Detective, and David Q. Dawson.
Awesome. I feel
doctor.
Like
He's
there should
doctor.
Be a mouse.
Yeah, Mouseson. I'm like, what a missed opportunity.
Like, yeah, no.
We're like trying to punch it up. We're like, that's wrong. That's not the right name.
You're
guys.
Writing history here, guys.
Cartoon.
That's
people.
So cute. Yeah. Oh, good quiz.
Thanks.
So I want to ask you guys this. Before the time of cameras, how did people capture their look?
They drew a picture sketches. Of them?
Like portraits and stuff. But portraits take a really long time. You have to stand there. You have to have a painter. It takes a lot of labor. Do you guys know what's the other cheap way to capture a person's likeness?
Well, they would do like, wouldn't they do like the shadow projections and like trace them? I know that was a thing, right? Like to get like just like a silhouette.
Yes. So before the time of cameras, people would paint portraits and, you know, of kings and royalty. And you see that all the time. They always have like, they pose, but they have to stand there for like 9 hours.
Right. Right.
But what if regular people like you and me just kind of want our pictures? Mm. You know, how do we do that? They went to these silhouette artists. What they do is essentially, and you've seen these before, they're called cameo.
Yeah.
You have skilled people would look at the profile, the side of your face, and cut out the profile on a piece of black paper.
Yeah, we had my friend's mom did this for us like back when we were little kids, and it came out pretty well.
This is how they would capture someone's resemblance back in the day. You know, regular people who don't have the money or time to have a master painter, a good one, to paint your likeness, and before a time of cameras, they would have all these shadow or cameo or silhouette artists that would just cut your profile, the side of your face, off of a black piece of paper, and you keep that. And it's very fast. Some of the masters take 2 minutes, up to 2 minutes, just blah, 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 all by eye. Some people don't even trace
it. Oh, really?
Some people don't even trace. Like they just start cutting.
Easy enough to just project your shadow, and then you trace it out, and then you just cut it out.
But maybe some people just like take the paper and they look at your shadow.
Yeah.
Or they just look at you, maybe, if they're really, really, really good.
And the reason why they do that, your profile, the side of your face, is because if you just do it front on, you just look like a head.
Right, just a blob.
You know, there's a lot more bone, you know, and feature, you know, more pronounced on the side, and hence this is basic quote photographs of you or some sort of likeness of you. So let me ask you guys this. Can you identify which specific book this quote is from? And Harry saw something that distracted him completely. The silhouette of an enormous shaggy black dog clearly imprinted against the sky, motionless in the topmost empty row of seats. Chris.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Correct. Yeah. The term silhouette, now we use it to describe, we see a shape of anything. Like a shape of a dog, a shape of a person. Oh, that's the silhouette of the building.
Mm.
But specifically back in the day, silhouette was the cut paper of your profile.
Oh, really? It was just that one thing.
So where did the word silhouette come from? The word silhouette derives from the name of Mr. Etienne de Silhouette. Yes, by a person. And he was the French finance minister who in the mid-1700s was forced by France's credit crisis to impose severe economic demands upon the French people. So his name became synonymous with anything that is done cheaply. Cheaply. Anything that's kind of cutting corners is cheap. We call it a silhouette. And hence, these portraits.
It's like political satire.
It is. Yeah. These portraits that you cut out is the cheap way of, painting a person.
Wow.
Fast and cheap.
So we're like, every time we say silhouette, we're like taking a dig at some French politician.
Yep. Somehow, that silhouette stuck. But they used to call everything that
was silhouette. Cheap soap, silhouette, or whatever.
So when we say we see the silhouette of something, blah, 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 we're speaking like metaphorically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
we're comparing it to a piece of cut paper.
Very fun.
That is cool.
Next time you use the word silhouette, just think about it's named after a jerk. I guess.
He was just doing his job.
You know what? I know. Seriously. Money was tight.
Yeah, money was tight.
That's what you can get for your first anniversary. You can get a silhouette of your spouse. It's paper.
That's cute.
Yeah. Huh? Little love tip. Good job, Frank.
There you go.
From the newlywed.
It's a little better than the booger ring. About the first idea.
We're stepping it up.
Booger silhouette.
Ew.
No, a regular one.
A decoupage of boogers.
We're done with that.
Okay.
Done with that. We did the
trying to class it up here.
Move on.
So I was going with the notion of on the side and thinking, you know, kind of out of the mainstream. And I was thinking, how can I get some good sports stories in here? So the answer struck me as sidelines. So I'm going to focus on some instances of activity or
antics,
let's say, sideline antics in a segment I've also named Coaches Behaving Badly. So these are instances where the coaches.
That sounds like a OK or a Us magazine.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'm just going for something. Very sensational. Yeah, imagine like big bold pink font with a lot of exclamation points. right. So yeah, normally the coaches are not supposed to have direct effect on the field of play, and these are some cases where they're trying to maybe flout the rules a little bit. So like, as a sports fan, sometimes you latch onto a certain athlete or player and you really kind of identify with that player. Mm-hmm. And for me, again, I think I'm not the only one.
You show up outside that player's house and you go through that player's garbage. You know how it is.
Yeah.
He's not the only one.
I stay 101 yards away at all time. I am within the letter of the law, Chris. But for me, I think a lot of fans do this. You identify a player who's your same age. And then sort of over the course of their career, you're like, could I be doing what they're doing? You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think so.
So who is this athlete?
Oh, yeah.
So for
this
me, this athlete was the basketball player, Jason Kidd.
Yes.
And there's the added level of that Jason Kidd went to Cal. And he was my year. Mm-hmm. So he was a freshman when I was a freshman.
You guys went to college together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We attended the same college.
Wow.
I never saw him, but yeah.
Did you see him play at UC Berkeley?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd see him play, and he had an outstanding collegiate career. Left early.
He also has a shaved head.
He does have a shaved head as he got a little bit older. Yes. So I always had a sort of a keener interest in his career.
You had the Neville Longbottom.
Neville or Harry.
I tell you what actually really hurt is that as he got older and playing in the NBA, it's old man Jason Kidd still getting it done somehow. And you know, I'm like, old man. I mean, you know, by professional athlete standards, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
So
they're talking to you.
And you know, if he had been no good or faded away from the scene, I might have forgotten about him. But as it turned out, he's
really good.
One of the greatest point guards ever to play the game, in fact, and had a very long career. Mm-hmm. He just retired last year from the NBA, finally. And he, in fact, is a head coach now. He is the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. So, rookie coach, first year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so part of this connection to players is, even though it's totally irrational, you kind of feel a little bit of pride when they do something really good, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, even though, like, there's no basis for this.
No, this is all part of why people watch sports.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. It's vicarious.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And conversely, you also feel a little bit of shame or embarrassment when they do something stupid.
What did he do?
So a few weeks ago, Jason Kidd did something kind of stupid.
Yeah.
So as I say, he is in his first year coaching the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, yeah. And as a coach, things are going a little rough for him so far. The Brooklyn Nets are not off to a good start this year, despite high expectations, just not having a good season. Mm-hmm. So a few weeks ago, they were in a game against the Los Angeles Lakers in the closing seconds of the game.
Which is your favorite team, right?
Which is my favorite team, yes.
So conflicted a little bit?
Well, no. You know, I mean, you got your priorities as a sports fan. So they were in the closing seconds of a game against the Lakers. They were down by 2 points. One of the Lakers was shooting a free throw. As you know, in basketball, you get a fixed number of timeouts. And so Jason Kidd, they were out of timeouts. The Nets had no more timeouts. And he's desperate for something to get the momentum back, win the game. So what happens next is there's a commotion on the court. And the refs stop the Lakers player from shooting the free throw because someone spilled a soda on the court. Jason Kidd had spilled a cup full of soda and ice on the court.
Oops.
And to be more precise, Jason Kidd pretended to spill a cup of soda.
Oh, man.
The video replay clearly shows him mouthing to one of his players, "Hit me." And so the player dutifully walks into coach and he makes an exaggerated spilling motion. Oops, there goes my cup of soda.
So I want to say he didn't graduate from our college.
Oh,
my God. on how it is. Wait, he didn't graduate from Berkeley?
He left early. He left early, like a lot of talented players do. Yes.
It's exactly the same when you're talking about like his accomplishments. He's like such a good point guard. I was like, yeah, UC Berkeley. Then it's like he threw this soda. Like, technically,
owned, disowned.
Why do we separate? At first, he denied it that he did this intentionally. So they stopped play, and so while they were stopping play, sure enough, he iced the free throw shooter. He missed the free throw shot, and it gave the Nets coaching staff time to diagram a play. You know, they were basically getting a free timeout. He found a way to get a timeout when he was out of timeouts.
There has to be a rule that he can't actually do that.
Well, yes, in fact.
So he really didn't find a way.
He found a way temporarily.
Yeah.
The Nets did go on to lose that game, so it didn't even work.
It's a little desperate.
Yes, he was fined $50,000.
Oh man,
by the league.
Yeah,
they want to make very clear don't do this, coaches. Come on, please.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's good. Can you just imagine every basketball game? It's just like sodas everywhere all the time.
It's not like it's not like hockey where like fighting is technically against the rules, but we really want you to punch each other.
It's like no, sincerely don't do that.
Really, don't do it. Yeah. 50K drops.
Yeah. What was funny is a lot of the coverage in the aftermath focused on how badly he did this, not necessarily that he was cheating.
That he,
some of the more veteran coaches are like, "Oh, you got to be a little more savvy than this."
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like when people fake getting hurt on the court or whatever. They're like, "Oh my God, you fouled me!" He's doing it that way.
Yeah.
So I have a couple more examples here. So I'm going to round out the big three American sports. We got your basketball, we got your football. Mm. So we'll go into football here. So in football, they teach you if you're running, either with the ball trying to score or you're running to intercept another player, and you're along the sideline, you know, they teach you very early on, get right up against the sideline as you're running, because it's just one fewer direction you need to worry about being tackled.
Yeah.
You know, you only need to worry about the other side of you or directly behind you. And that's true, except when a coach from the other team sticks out his leg and trips you while you're running on the sidelines.
No.
That is bad conduct.
That is literally overstepping the boundaries of what is acceptable conduct.
Wow.
In a game
nice literal use of literal.
Yeah. Thank you. Good night, everybody. I'm done now.
I want to know what happened.
In a game in 2010 between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins, there was a Miami player, Nolan Carroll, for the Miami Dolphins, was running along the sidelines when one of the coaches on the Jets coaching staff, a strength and conditioning coach, as it turns out, stuck out his knee, kind of just ever so slightly stuck out his knee, clipped Carroll's thigh, and tripped him. And, you know, at first it wasn't really clear what happened, but again, you look at the video replay. I mean, what I always wonder is, like,
do they not
know? Are you not aware
that there's like a million cameras on you?
Well, and to be fair, you know, he wasn't the guy with the ball, so maybe he thought he could get away with it.
Yeah.
But video replay clearly showed him sticking his knee out and tripping the guy. Sal Alossi, the strength conditioning coach for the Jets.
What happened to him?
He was fined $25K by the team, suspended for the rest of the year without pay. And then the team, in turn, was fined $100,000 by the league. Again, this is a safety issue, not to mention
safety, but like you hear that naughty little voice in your head and you just gotta not do it, you guys.
You need to control yourself and be a professional grown-up. This story was mentioned a lot recently. It kind of came back into the news cycle because head coach Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers did something maybe sort of similar in a game a couple weeks ago. He jumped on the field in the path of a opposing player coming with the ball and then jumped out of the way at the last second.
No.
And
pretending he didn't know he crossed the sideline?
He says he didn't know. Most people looking at the video kind of call BS on that.
Yeah.
We'll close it out with baseball.
Baseball.
This is one of my favorite stories.
Are there sidelines?
There are, you know, there are lines along the first base and third base line.
Foul lines.
Yes, right. Okay. And technically, they call them managers in baseball and not coaches. But I think this still falls under the rubric of coaches behaving badly.
Yeah.
In a 1999 game between the New York Mets and the Toronto Blue Jays, there was a call at the plate for catcher interference, on Mike Piazza, who is a famous Major League Baseball catcher. And, you know, it was a tense game. It was the 12th inning, so it had gone into extra innings. A lot was on the line here. So the manager for the Mets started arguing the catcher interference call. Now, the manager for the Mets at the time was Bobby Valentine. Mm-hmm. And he argued vehemently, perhaps a bit too vehemently. He probably said what they call the magic words in baseball. Well, you can probably imagine. They're words I can't repeat here. But, mm-hmm. Umpires will put up with a lot. But if there are certain words, if you say that word, they will eject you.
Okay.
And, as you guys, even as casual sports fans, managers get ejected from baseball. Mm-hmm. So normally when you get ejected, you're supposed to go sit in the clubhouse for the remainder of the game. The whole point. You can't be in the dugout. Can't be on the field. Okay. So Bobby Valentine left the field to play and, all's normal. Short while later, the TV cameras picked up the sight of a mysterious figure in the Mets dugout with a non-Mets cap on and sort of a generic Mets t-shirt, dark sunglasses, and a fake mustache.
He was in disguise.
He had donned a cheap disguise clubhouse and snuck back into the dugout where he was watching the rest of the game. And the announcers are cracking up when they see it. They're like, is that Bobby Valentine comes back in? And again, it was hilarious to watch it, but the league did not find it amusing at all. Yes.
Sounds like a Will Ferrell kind of joke.
It's just a comically bad disguise, but he got away with it. He got back in the dugout, but they fined him thousands of dollars. He was suspended for a couple games, but they won the game. So this is a case where at least temporarily the subterfuge may have worked.
Right,
but yes, the official league stance is please do not disguise yourself.
So you look really silly when they catch you.
So what I had always wondered hearing the story was like, why was there a fake mustache in the clubhouse in the first place?
Right.
I don't think he ran out to the store.
Yeah. Maybe he planned on doing this at some point.
Well, what it turns out is, this makes a lot more sense, is sometimes athletes, they put the little stickers under their eye to mimic the eye black.
One of those?
He took two of those he made a fake mustache out of the two little eye reflector stickers under his nose.
Awesome MacGyver craftiness there.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes, and that's Bobby Valentine. Story for
I like wow. that story. He shouldn't have done that. But like, that's
very original.
It's not as bad as the other two stories.
No.
He didn't hurt anybody.
He didn't hurt anybody. That's right. But still.
All right. I have a quiz for you guys. It's about side effects. I'll describe products and their original intended use. These are products where their side effects were so positive. They became known for the side effects.
I almost started researching the same thing and then I gave it up.
So, these will be products that were originally intended for one thing, but then their side effects were so positive, they're known more for the side effect now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they were designed to do one thing, but then the benefit was so much more marketable, more interesting, just better.
Like, say, I guess Play-Doh. We talked about Play-Doh before,
exactly.
Right? It was supposed to be a wallpaper cleaner, but then people...
Kids started playing with it, and
Exactly.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. First one. This product was originally a surgical antiseptic and cure for gonorrhea. Everybody.
Listerine.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Call back.
We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. All right.
Pour it right on.
This medicine was originally intended to help with hypertension, angina, and other symptoms of heart disease. Everybody.
Viagra.
About this one. This was originally invented as an alternative to morphine addiction and to treat headaches and relieve anxiety.
As an alternative to heroin, right?
No. it was a tonic, and the inventor also had an addiction to morphine.
Is it Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
That's right.
This was originally marketed as Proscar, a drug to treat the benign enlargement of the prostate. Chris.
Is it Prozac?
No.
Oh.
Preparation H?
No. As a hint, so prostates are only a moon, and so this is an affliction that often happens to men specifically.
Rogaine?
Yeah, it's Propecia. Baldness.
Wait a minute.
It would make so they figured out that bald men or balding men were growing their hair back by taking this. And then they were like,
it's not a topical application. This thing that's for your butt.
They're like, it works. All right. Okay. Finally. Okay. This one was crazy. All right. It was originally marketed as a lady disinfectant or douche. And it was also one of the leading forms of female birth control from 1930 to 1960.
Oh. Huh.
Okay, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Your eyes are crazy.
Lady disinfectant.
Yeah.
And was a form of birth control in the 60s.
From the 50s. 30s to 60s. From until the 30s to 60s. Until the pill got invented.
Oh, okay.
It was a thing that people...
Listerine.
You're kind of close.
Ow. Ow.
What do you think?
Apple cider vinegar?
No. That's gentle. That's gentle. Yeah.
Ovaltine.
No. No. It's Lysol.
Whoa.
Wow. I certainly wouldn't.
No. I was like
as a spray?
Uh-huh. And they were like, in your marriage, the reason why you're having trouble is because Lysol yourself and cause caustic damage to
Yeah, apparently.
Goodness. And women were trying to use it as birth control, and they did a study, and it was like 50% effective, maybe. Like, it's 50-50 whether or not it was going to work. Right. And it was killing people, and then they figured out that it was actually really good disinfectant for surfaces.
Like countertops.
not for people.
Right.
It was a solution in search of a problem.
Yeah. Wow.
Put this in you. We don't know what it is. Yeah. Miracle drug.
So it had bad side effects on the people, good side effects on the toilet bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Kitchen counter.
Sure.
Wow.
Poor grandmas. Anyway.
You win some, you lose some.
Wow.
Hey guys, why did the chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. Famous joke we were all told. Great example of an anti-joke.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like...
There's no punchline.
The joke is on you. Right? Like, you're expecting a pun at the end about chickens and roads and stuff like that. But no, you just get straight answer. But there's a lot of variations on this classic back and forth joke. So I'll give you guys the opener. Mm-hmm. And because we love doing this, we all love opening. I say we on the Good Job Brain crew enjoy taking Laffy Taffy packages and attempting to guess the answer to the ridiculous riddles. And so I will give you guys the variations on the chicken joke. So these should be guessable, or you remember them from school. It'll be one of the two. Okay. We'll see about your memories on these jokes.
All right. Just a quick note.
Go on.
I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show. So at pub trivia, us four, when we go to pub trivia, sometimes the quizmaster has usually he has like a bucket of candy.
Yeah.
And it's our tradition to take every single Laffy Taffy from the bucket.
Which have bad kids jokes, basically, printed.
Yeah. Like riddles on them.
Yeah.
And we would share it with everybody, and we'd try to guess the answer.
And the kids write the jokes in, and they send them in to Laffy Taffy. And
presumably they're kids.
Whoever they are not good at writing.
And sometimes we think of better
answers.
They're not
funny. Yeah, exactly.
But it is a tradition of our pub quiz.
Yeah. So, like, one thing that's not in this quiz is, why did the cow cross the road? Because he was going to the movies. That's about what's on those Laffy Taffy packages.
Yeah.
We highly recommend your next dinner party putting out a bowl of Laffy Taffy and using it as an icebreaker.
It works.
It would.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see if you remember this one. Why did the turkey cross the road?
It was Thanksgiving.
Something gobble.
No, you're off the mark. It's usually you ask why did the chicken cross the road, and then you follow it up with why did the turkey
cross the road. To get to the other side.
Oh, because the chicken did it first or something?
Something like that. No, it's to prove he wasn't chicken.
Of course.
Right. The chicken just did it.
Or alternately, because it was the chicken's day off.
Whatever. You have to set that one up, though.
Okay. We're warming up.
Okay.
Why did the dinosaur cross the road?
He's trapped or
extinct.
Because chickens
are not extinct.
Because chickens hadn't evolved yet.
Right, okay.
Because there were no chickens yet.
Oh my god.
Wow. Okay. This is the one I remember hearing on the playground.
Evolution.
Way too many times. Sure. Why did the turtle cross the road? Maybe this is regional. I know I'm Connecticut and you guys are all California. Why did the turtle cross the road?
Because he had shell shock.
Oh, close.
Interesting.
The traditional end of this joke is to get to the shell station.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. This is a joke that I kept finding on various joke sites. Why did the chicken cross the playground?
to get to the other slide.
Whoa, all right. Yeah. We finally got one. Nice job.
Thanks.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Sorry. Here's one for you. Why did the chicken cross the road, roll around in some mud, and then cross the road again?
Because it's actually a pig.
Wanted to see the dirty side.
Didn't want anyone to recognize him on the way back.
Because he was a dirty double crosser.
Oh, wow. I've heard that before, as a kid.
Yep. Why did the chicken cross the Mobius strip?
Never got
Colin? To stay on the same side.
Slow clap from Karen on the Mobius strip joke.
We're getting towards the end
actually
here.
That's pretty good one. Right. I like that one.
Why didn't the skeleton cross the road? Why didn't the skeleton cross the road?
Didn't the skeleton cross the road?
Because he doesn't have a nervous system.
Oh, you're close.
No nerves. Yeah.
Yeah, he lost his
pulse. He lost his nerves.
Because he didn't have the...
He didn't have the guts.
Didn't have the guts.
All right.
Finally, this ridiculous segment. This ridiculous excuse for a segment.
Sure.
And of course, a callback to Colin's segment. Why did the chicken run into the basketball court?
To cross to the other sideline?
Oh, could be.
Run into the basketball court.
Because the referee...
he slipped from Jason Kidd throwing the soda.
Oh, because the referee called for a foul?
Yes!
That's actually
I have one for you guys.
It's not bad. Oh, go on.
Guess what?
What?
Chicken butt. Chicken butt.
Good joke.
No, why?
Chicken thigh.
Yeah, that's why.
Guess who?
Chicken poo. Yeah.
All right, we've devolved.
Wow, okay.
And we're 8 years old.
Okay. Yay.
All right, well, I have a quiz that's maybe a little more highbrow. I don't know. It is, however, an unapologetically American quiz.
Okay, all right.
So with that said, I will actually apologize to our non-American listeners. Well, so this quiz is all about the other side of bills and coins.
Okay.
So
feel free to just turn it right off.
We all know.
No, but we have a music quiz later. So
stick with us. I think
we know.
Just fast forward a few more minutes.
Just kidding. Listen to me.
I'm just kidding.
Fast forward until Colin stops talking.
Wait, can I get out my money? No.
No, you're not allowed to check your money. So actually, what inspired this was at Pub Quiz last week. Chris and I were there.
Oh, yeah.
We were a little shorthanded, and we had a question about the state quarter. Program.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to that in a few minutes here.
All right.
We all know who's on the front of a lot of currency. So these are questions about what's on the other side.
Sure.
Crap.
All right. Let's see.
Here we go. I can see these coming up at Pub Quiz quite easily.
Yeah,
so,
could be.
The reverse side of this coin features, from left to right, an olive branch, a torch, and an oak branch. Oh, I think that was Dana again.
Is that a dime?
That is a dime.
Yeah.
That is the...
dime has a bunch of twigs and things.
The 10-cent piece.
But
that's
it's
right.
Not a lot of real estate.
It's true, yeah. Okay. Until 2009, this was the only United States coin to feature an image of the same person on both sides.
This is the penny.
Yes.
Because it has the Lincoln Memorial on the reverse, and you can see Lincoln's little head in the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah, if you look up close.
Yep.
I've never noticed his little head in there. I was
It has to be one that's in fairly good condition because it rubs down pretty quickly. But you can see a little tiny Lincoln in the Lincoln Memorial.
That's cool.
They did change the design on the back of the 1 cent coin.
Yep. It's a bizarro sort of shield.
It's a shield now. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned they did run a...
It's not even Captain America's shield or something cool.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Right?
What paper bill features an image of the White House on the back? This is a fairly common denomination bill. Karen.
$20 bill.
It is the $20 bill.
Nice.
Well done.
Lots from the ATM.
Yes, it is. Yes, the ATM currency here.
True.
Yes, in most states. I was trying to find if there was any particular connection between Andrew Jackson and the White House. The closest I could find.
He was a president.
He lived there for a while.
He was the first president to invite the public to the inauguration ball at the White House.
Huh.
Which
what?
Fit, yes, yes.
Wait, wait, they just invited anybody who wanted
apparently,
to come?
Apparently, it was a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, yeah. The public really? Said, sure, we'll come.
Yeah, we'll fun. Come to your ball.
Just
yeah.
Sounds like just a raucous scene.
Never been to a ball before. Don't own yeah. pants without holes in them, but
just party.
Sure.
Crowding, turning the field into mud.
Yeah.
People just trying to catch a glimpse of the president.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a story that they had to bring tubs of alcohol outside just to try and keep people out of the
just
White House.
Yes. Tubs of alcohol. Yes.
Like,
here,
stock?
What the heck do yeah. you people want?
You know,
here's a tub of alcohol for you yokels.
Animals. Dirty animals who elected me president. Get out of here.
Jackson was
a salt lick.
He was a populist, and he's like, darn it, I will have the
yeah.
public at my ceremony.
Hey, that's great.
So as I mentioned, this quiz was inspired by the 50 state quarters program, and we get these at Pub Quiz
a lot.
So for those of you who may not know, in 1999, the U.S. Mint started the 50 state quarters program, where they were releasing 5 custom designs a year, each one commemorating one of the 50 states, and they released them in the order the states were accepted to the Union. Yeah, so Delaware was the first. Each state basically got to decide what design they wanted to submit.
Oh, okay.
The U.S. Mint had to approve them, but it was really up to the state.
That's cool.
It was kind of cool. And, you know, there was slightly different process. Sometimes the governor would recommend a short list. Sometimes it was up to just people would call in to a special line or vote mm-hmm. online. And what they are is usually some sort of mix of historical images or famous people from that state or mm-hmm. some famous natural landmark, you know. So, like, New Hampshire was
the
old man in the rock, right? The old mm-hmm. man in the mountain, right?
Well, that's good they didn't do, like, online voting now or online submission because, like, Cat
yeah,
and
right.
Colbert.
Yeah. Snooki.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was some committee that would kind of take suggestions.
Yeah. Oh, the cat quarter.
I see.
There were a few restrictions, like no, it couldn't just be a picture of your state flag. You weren't allowed to have no living people, you know, which is one of the general rules for U.S. currency sure. as well. And I have to say, you know, some of the state design quarters are really beautiful and nice, and some are frankly ridiculous. I don't want to name any states here because I don't want to get any angry emails.
We don't make us name.
Some of them are rather ridiculous, but I'm not going to focus on the ridiculous ones here. I'm going to keep this highbrow.
Now I need to go look up the things to find the ridiculous ones. All right.
Some of them look like we need to fit as many things in this tiny little space as we can, you know. So I have a couple questions for you. All of that leading up to a couple questions about the state quarters on the backs. All right. The coin commemorating this state is the first U.S. coin to include Braille writing.
Oh.
What state is this?
Crap. I was just going to say
well,
Helen
it's,
Keller.
It's, it's Helen Keller
it
state.
It is the Helen Keller state, yes. Uh-huh. She is a native daughter of what state?
Is it Illinois? Massachusetts? Maryland?
Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Helen Keller, mm-hmm. yes, born in Tuscumbia, Alabama.
Wow.
So it features her on the back, and then the caption is both in traditional
That's
text
cool.
and also in Braille.
That's
her,
cool.
Yeah,
cool.
And I thought that was a really cool feature and something you couldn't do on a paper bill.
Right.
There are coins from 3 states which feature images of presidents on the back, as well as obviously the ones on the front. So for 1 point, okay. name any of the 3 states that have presidents on the back of their special coins. Karen.
South Dakota?
Yeah, there you go.
Mount Rushmore. Yep.
That's kind of the sort of the tricky one. That's right. South Dakota has a picture of Mount Rushmore.
That's the tricky one?
So that's 4-1 there. There are 2 more. And so now keep in mind, you remember famous people from that state,
mm-hmm.
famous events that happened in that state, famous landmarks. So we've got the landmark covered. You guys want to take a guess at the other
Illinois.
2? Illinois, yes, Lincoln. Correct. Dana, land of Lincoln. Yes, there's a picture of a young Abraham Lincoln on the back. The 3rd one is definitely the hardest to guess. The image on the back of the coin is actually a reproduction of a famous painting of an event featuring a president. Yeah. Chris.
Is it Delaware?
It is. Wow. It is.
Washington,
it, however, the state
Delaware.
Is New Jersey.
Oh!
Because that scene depicts Washington crossing the Delaware in the Battle of Trenton.
Uh-huh.
Trenton, New Jersey. Huh. Yes, so they reproduced the famous painting in miniature relief
cool.
on the back of the coin.
Huh.
All right, well, there you go.
All right, you guys, I have our last segment, last quiz, a music quiz for everybody. We haven't done a music quiz in a while, and today's music quiz will be featuring mashup clips.
Oh.
Okay.
Did you make these mashups?
I did not make these mashups. Okay. That would have taken me a very long time.
Yeah. I would have been so impressed.
It would be very easy. Be like, Mary Had a Little Lamb and Twinkle Twinkle Little Stars.
Right. It's not a mashup, but you just play them together in two boomboxes and stick a microphone in the middle of them. Yeah.
So in music rounds, usually I will play 20 to 30 seconds of a music clip, and I need you guys to identify the artist.
Okay.
So in this case, I need you guys to identify the two artists, or maybe you can just identify the song that is in this mashup clip.
Okay. And, sounds good.
All right. We ready?
Yep.
Not getting any readier.
Really? I'm getting readier.
Just getting less ready.
Well, so I'm getting more ready, you're getting less ready, and Colin's not getting any readier.
He's staying static.
Yeah.
I don't even really remember your name at this point.
Kringle?
Chad?
Yeah.
Crispin. Right. Crispin, I think.
All right, let's start off with this one. Shake 'em off, shake 'em off, shake 'em off. Don't let haters get me off my grind. Keep my head up, I know I'll be fine. Keep fighting until I get there. When I'm down and I feel like giving up, I think I can Wow. Chris was first.
I'm gonna. That is Willow Smith and Devo.
Yes. Yeah. Whip my hair
and whip it.
Very good. Yes, wow. Thank you. I was not expecting you to know Willow Smith at all.
She sort of entered the particular song. Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. One of my favorites. Dana.
Gorillas and Cake.
Yes. Gorilla Cake.
Gorilla Cake.
Gorilla Cake. Never There and Never Feel Good. Wait, the song is Never Feel Good.
Feel Gooding.
Yes. This one is for you, Chris. I picked this one just for you.
Oh, thanks.
Fleetwood Mac.
There's three songs that are mashed together.
Oh, my goodness.
Here we go.
We may have to tag team this one. I mean, it's James Taylor, Your Smiling Face. But then
I thought I heard snippets of the Quincy Jones written song. I don't know the name, but I know that it was also popular known as the Austin Powers theme song.
Yes, also in Ludacris' number one spot. But that is Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy Jones, which is the Austin Powers song. And the other song is Mariah Carey.
Ah.
All right, and here we go, the next one.
So it's the Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Yes.
And then who does Shake It All Baby?
Oh, it's Twist and Shout, but it's either the Beatles or the Isley Brothers.
It is the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Okay.
Beatles. Beastie Boys and Beatles. This Beatles. Mashup is a whole album of Beastie Boys and Beatles.
No, that's cool.
Called the Beastles.
Nice. That's good. Yeah. That seems appropriate since the Beastie Boys used to sample the Beatles.
All right, and last one. It is an artist and also a TV show.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Colin.
That is a Beyonce with the theme song from the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah. Call Single Ladies in Mayberry. That's good. Great.
That's good. That one works. I like that one.
Totally works. There you go. That good job,
Bea.
You guys.
Oh, Aunt Bea. Wasn't she the lady in Andy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And Beyonce.
Funny.
That is the Mashup Music Round.
Awesome.
That was fun.
And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learn a lot of stuff about things on the side, what not to do when you're a coach, some side effects.
Anniversary.
No booger rings, guys.
Save it for the third
year.
And you can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.